them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now remember, when John was writing about this, he said that the door was locked because of fear of the Jewish leaders. So can you imagine the sheer terror that's going on here? Startled and frightened, the Bible says. That's what people felt. And their reaction was, of course, it's a ghost. It's a ghost. They'd seen the man hanging on a cross. They'd seen him, and so had many people in Jerusalem. They'd been out there at Golgotha. They'd seen this man hanging on a cross. They'd seen him die. They'd seen him taken down from the cross and put in a tomb. So what else would they think when suddenly that dead man appears among them? It's a ghost. How would you feel? Imagine the fright and the horror of it. But Jesus says two things to calm them down. The first thing he says, and these two things are quite mind-boggling. The first thing he says is, come and touch me. You know, I have got flesh and bones. Feel me. Touch me. And you can't touch a ghost. Have you tried touching a ghost? Think about what would happen. You know, there it is. And you put your hand out and it goes right through. But Jesus says, touch me. Touch my hands and my feet. You can't touch a ghost. And the second thing he says is even stranger. He says, have you got anything to eat? Yeah, ghosts don't eat. And there he is. He's standing there eating a piece of fish. So this isn't a ghost. This is a real human body that's come back from the dead. But that's not all that this story is saying to us. The first thing it's saying is there's a new life here. He told them that all of this had been predicted in the Old Testament. The Messiah, God's chosen king, will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And here he was to prove it. But while they could see that he was human, he was a real living person, there was still something different about him. The disciples, when they walked with him on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him at first. He was there talking to them, and they didn't recognize him until he started breaking the bread. And then they realized who it was. Yet here he is, solidly human, and yet he had appeared in a locked room. And over the next few weeks, he would do the same thing. He would show himself in that room to people like Thomas, who had doubted the story. He suddenly turned up on a beach and cooked breakfast while the disciples were fishing. And then he appeared to 500 people at one time. So when people say they don't believe in the resurrection, you've got all these other people who actually saw Jesus, touched him, ate with him, saw him cooking. Like you would on a Saturday morning watching the telly. Here he was, cooking. And there he was, you know, he was real and he was there. He'd really risen from the dead. But the eyewitnesses, the people who saw him, said he seemed to be a bit different. He had a new kind of human body with a new sort of life. Now, the even more amazing thing about it is this. There's Jesus. You'd expect him as the Son of God to be able to rise from the dead and come back and be new. And that's wonderful. And to have this body that can suddenly appear in the middle of a locked room and just be with people and just be real. And you think that's great and that's good. But the more amazing thing is what John, who was one of the disciples who was there in the room, what he wrote later. He said, we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. As Jesus had a real body coming back from the dead, so when he returns to the earth, we will be like him. We will rise from the dead in new bodies. And they will be different from what we have now. In many ways, you know, we will be human, we'll be seen to be human, but it will be different from what we have now. Now, it's really hard to understand this. And people have been trying to understand it for a couple of thousand years. But the Apostle Paul tries to explain it in this way. He says, look, you've got different sorts of bodies. You've got the bodies of animals, you've got the heavenly bodies, you've got the earthly body that we have, and you've got what he called a spiritual body. Now, it didn't mean it's made of spirit, like a ghost that, you know, you can't touch or anything. What he meant was it's a real body, but it's made to live in a different world. If you were going to go to Mars, and perhaps some of you younger ones will one day, you know, who knows? Or if you go to the moon, you need to have a spaceship, and you need to have a place to live there, and you need to have a space suit. Because you're not made to live on Mars or the moon. You're made to live on this planet. So when a new kingdom arrives, when Christ comes and he brings a new world, we can't live in it the way we are. Paul said this, flesh and blood, that is our present body, can't inherit the kingdom of God. That's why we need to change. And that's what God is going to do. Our bodies are not meant to live in this new kingdom, but the new bodies we have will do. That's amazing, isn't it? We need a different kind of body to live with Christ in his new home. So we've got this new life and we're going to get it as well. But then we're also going to go and be with Christ in a new home. And that's from verses 50 to 52 where he talks about what they are going to ascend into heaven. And he explains what he wants them to do. Weeks after appearing in that room, as though solid stuff didn't matter, Jesus rises from the earth as though gravity doesn't matter. Jesus couldn't stay on the earth for a number of reasons. Although his body could go anywhere, it couldn't be everywhere. He was in a body, he was located in a body. And although that body was amazing and could do lots of different things, it couldn't be everywhere at the same time. So to get his message out, he needed his followers to take it to the whole world. And he couldn't be there to help them if he was still in that body. So while he was in the body, he could only be in one place at a time. He couldn't be everywhere with them. So this is the great thing. Jesus' plan was this. Repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name, in Christ's name, to all the nations beginning at Jerusalem. And to the people in that room, later on, he said, you're witnesses of these things. You've seen these things happen already. You've got to tell the world. In Acts 1, he tells the same people, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the utter parts of the world. Now, if he was going to do this, he needed to help his people, but he couldn't do it while he was in a body. So he ascends into heaven so he could send the Holy Spirit to be with them. And the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus with us, only he's not a body. He's not just present in one place. He can be everywhere while Jesus is in one place. In John 16:7, Jesus said, unless I go away, the advocate, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he says in our reading here, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Later on, when the nation of Israel was celebrating a holiday called Pentecost, God sent his Holy Spirit to live with his followers. And that's what's happened to us. When we become a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to us and is like having Jesus with us. So after saying this, he ascends to heaven and he goes to be with the Father. After all these sorts of appearances, we read in Acts chapter 1 that he was taken up before their eyes and a cloud hid him from sight. He has to go back to heaven. His disciples had to see him go so that there was no question that Jesus had actually left the earth. The only way you can leave the planet is to go upwards. And that's what Jesus did. He ascended. He went up, deliberately leaving the planet. And Jesus is now at the right hand of God the Father. Now, this isn't the same thing as a Christian dying and going to live with God in heaven, which is what we say when our brothers and sisters in Christ die. And it's not just a nice, tidy ending to the story. This is altogether stranger and more mind-boggling. In his real human body, risen and adapted to living in God's heavenly kingdom, Jesus is in heaven as a human body. And that is really strange, isn't it? Isn't it strange? That's where he is. And he is talking to the Father about you and me. We've been looking at Hebrews recently, the letter to the Hebrews. And it talks about Jesus as the high priest. And that's what a high priest is. It's somebody who speaks about us to God. And Jesus is there as the right hand, at the right hand of God, speaking about us and praying to God about us, praying for you and me, which is great. But when the Bible talks about Jesus being at the right hand of God meant for the people in those days the most important place you could be. It was the place where when you had kings, you had a counsellor standing next to them, talking to them about the decisions they have to make. And that's what Jesus is doing. The Bible tells us that he is in charge of everything. He's in charge of everything. And he is working out his plans for the world until the time when he will return. And this is what's going to happen when Jesus comes back, says Paul in 1 Corinthians. When Jesus comes back to the world, we will all be changed. In a flash, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised imperishable and we shall be changed. We will be changed. We'll be like him. Never to die again, but made to live with him in the world he's preparing for us. John, who saw Jesus that evening, who'd seen Jesus in that room in that evening, says that he had a vision of something that was going to come. And he says this. He was standing watching the great city of God descending from heaven in a vision. And he heard the voice of God saying this. Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. New bodies. A new life in a new city, in this on a new planet, when God renews this earth and brings his city here, we will be living there in a world where there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. That's what this story is all about. It isn't the end of something that Jesus was doing. It's just the beginning of what Jesus is doing now. And what he's going to do in the future. And these verses are telling us to be ready. We need to believe that Jesus died to pay for our sins. We need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit as Jesus living within us to prepare us for the day when he will come back to give us a new life in new bodies, ready for that existence which will be with him forever. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that in all that you were doing, you had this great plan that Jesus should come and die for us and then rise again from the dead and ascend to be with you and to speak to you about us and then to reign over the whole universe and one day to come back and take us to be with himself in a new way, in a new life, in a new world. Lord, help us to try and grasp that amazing truth, and help us, we pray, to give ourselves to you and to look forward to that day when you will return. in Jesus' name. Amen.